3 minutes past five here on Manx Radio AM, and this is Classified. Thank you for joining us. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking at all the full-time scores on and off Ireland in rugby, hockey and football. And as well as that, we'll get team news from Rob Pritchard. Yes, FC Alamann are at home this evening. They're playing South Liverpool, 6 o'clock kickoff. We have you covered here on Manx Radio AM. Full live commentary from the bowl from Rob and Darren Timpson at 6 o'clock. But before that, we have Tony Meppam in the studio and Dave Christian here to talk football and rugby. And of course, I will give you the lowdown with all the hockey that has took place on Ireland. But first, as always, we'll start with the classified results. And we are going to start with football and the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Onchan 3, Corinthians 6, Laxey 0, Union Mills 3, Douglas High School and Old Boys 1, Braddon 2, Peel 2, Foxdale 0, St Mary's 5, Ayr United 1, St John's against Rushen, match postponed due to pitch. Arden and Drugan Division 2, Douglas Royal 4, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4, Douglas and District 0, Governors Athletic 0, St George's 3, Castletown 2, Maroun 0, Colby 3, Canada Life Combination 1, Corinthians 0, Onchan 5, Union Mills 2, Laxey 9, Braddon against Douglas High School and Old Boys, match postponed. Foxdale against Peel, match postponed. Ayr United against St Mary's, this has been given as a walkover to St Mary's. Rushen 5, St John's United 2. Arden and Drugan combination 2. We are looking for the score for Jims against Maroun. Malou 9, Michael United 3. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Douglas Royal, match postponed due to no ref. Governors Athletic 3, Douglas and District 1, Castletown 1, St George's 2, and then Colby against Douglas Athletic, match postponed due to no ref being available. Looking at the rugby, Regional 2 North West, Burnage 41, Douglas 29, and in the Harford Homes Manx Shield, Southern Nomads 46, Western Vikings 5. Now we turn to hockey and in the Men's Premier League. Castletown A1, Harlequins A3, Vikings A2, Backers A4, Vikings B0, Valkyries B5. Ladies Premier League. Backers A0, Vikings A1, Valkyries A2, Castletown A1, Castletown B1, Harlequins A5. In Men's Division 1, Castletown B0, Backers B9, Valkyries B7, Harlequins B0, Ramsey A2, Valkyries C1. Ladies Division 1, Backers C1, Vikings B4, Valkyries B2, Ramsey B1. Castletown C against Backers B is a late result. Men's Division 2, we have Castletown C0, Vikings C1. Backers C against Ramsey B is a late result. Backers Colts against Harlequins C is a late pushback, kicking off just now as we speak at 5 past 5 at King William's College. Ladies Division 2, Castletown D1, Harlequins B0. Valkyries C against Vikings C is a late result. Mixed Under-15s League, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 4, Backers 3, and then a late result due in from Castletown Savers against Harlequins. So that concludes our classified results. But we're going to start by looking at something that's been going on at Onchan Football Club. Last summer saw a new first for Manx football, the creation of the island's first ever learning disability and neurodiverse football team. The team at Onchan AFC currently has around 15 players involved and is aimed at those aged 11 to 15. Running the setup is coach Ben Mellon and Connor Thompson. They've been speaking to Manx Radio's Darren Timpson this week about everything that's been going on.
We've been running now for about 5-6 months.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, only just relatively new. Started off with a small group, about 5 or 6 kids, and it's now doubled in size, getting around 10 to 12 kids each week.
Yeah, nearly hitting 15, aren't we?
Yeah, more words getting out, more people are bringing their friends, and it's just a brilliant, brilliant place to be, I'd say.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's the Special Olympics as well, so how does that work? Is that kids that are involved in the Special Olympics as well that are playing for Onchan as well, or how does that work?
Separate things. So it's like a gateway into the Special Olympics. So with the football, obviously you've got Comet's session before us, which is for the younger people with learning disabilities or learning difficulties. Then they'll ideally come from Comet's up to us lot. Then that's 11 to 15-ish. We go off more ability rather than just age, because everyone's different. You've got younger kids who have the better football and ability who come up from Comet, and then from there their ideal gain is to go straight to the Special Olympics football team.
And you mentioned how it's grown over the last few months. Did you expect the word to get out that quickly to get these many kids involved immediately?
Not straight away, did we? We was quite shocked that we just started with the numbers that we had, and we was hoping that word of mouth might grow it with intention to promote it a little bit further. You know, this whole project came from Onchan AFC, and we've got to give a big shout out to Brian Callow there for taking this project on. The young people that come kind of feel like they didn't quite fit into their football teams all around the island. You know, they had ability, they had footballing sense, but for one reason or other, they weren't quite, you know, enough to make it to the team. So it's just a great opportunity for them to just put on a kit on and feel like they're a part of something. You know, it's unbelievable. So shout out to Brian Callow for getting that started. And I think his intention is to grow that across the island and get other teams on board.
Special Olympics is great, obviously. I don't want to diminish what they're doing, but in terms of having a club on the Isle of Man that has a dedicated disability team, I mean, that's huge, isn't it, really?
Massive. Yeah, it's massive, yeah. I think over the next 3 to 5 years, the plan is to spread it out, get a team up north, down south, one in the east, one in west, and then start doing little tournaments, like either 3-a-side, 5-a-side tournaments in between, just depending on how many numbers we get, obviously, and building it up from there.
Going back to the kids' side, you mentioned about how it's important for them to feel like they're part of a team, and this age of 11 to 15-year-olds, I think it was, that I saw on your poster, how important is that for the development of these kids as they grow older?
It's huge, isn't it? You know, it's this transitional age from primary school where you're kind of traditionally wrapped in cotton wool, and a lot of these young people have got sort of hidden long-term health conditions behind the scenes as well. So they're extra, you know, wrapped up in cotton wool a little bit. And this transition from secondary school is massive for any kid, isn't it? You know, you're starting to form a bit of an identity there. So having this togetherness to be able to put on a shirt and be proud to wear this shirt and say, I'm a part of something, you know, it's great. And you see the faces light up when they get the kit every Friday. They're like, yes, coach, what are you, you know, and that's what we're there for. That's what we're, you know, here to do.
How do the training sessions work? Do you play matches, or is it just basic training?
So the training works, we split it out. We've got the younger group and the older group, just a bit of training, bit of fun, running about, working on the football and abilities, the general aspects of football while also having fun. And then we always go into a little game at the end, don't we?
Yeah.
Include the coaches, which is always fun to see them trying to kick us.
That's where Connor comes in. Connor is the mastermind behind the activities. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing most of the time.
just
looking over
and
smiling, yeah.
Is there anything else on the Isle of Man from the FA's point of view or from football just generally that you'd like to see change when it comes to disability football or sport in general, really?
Honestly, just offering more up to those children who do have the either learning disabilities or learning difficulties, just showing that they can take part as well, basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be some big plans, especially if more clubs start to get involved with this. I think, yeah, without a doubt, I think as soon as the word starts getting out more, I think this is going to grow exponentially, and I think more clubs will get involved, more children will get involved, and before we know it, this island will be a leading island, if not all across the UK, in this kind of subject. So, very exciting times.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
That was Onchan AFC's learning disability and neurodivergent team coach Ben Mellon and Connor Thompson there talking to Darren. And for anyone interested in finding out more, the training sessions take place on Friday from 6 till 7 at Centre 21 on Greenfield Road in Douglas. Let's turn to football matters that's happened on the island today, and I'm pleased to say Tony Meppen joins me in the studio. Good evening, Tony. Have you thawed out?
I've thawed out. I heard your comments before, just how did we get on, me, Dave and yourself. Pretty cold where it was at Moran, but it wasn't too bad. I think it was the game sort of made you forget about the cold, but yeah, it's not nice conditions, but I'm sure everybody's sorted down. A couple of beers on board will sort that.
Absolutely. Let's have a look at Canada Life Men's Premier League. And the first one on the list, a massive scoreline this one, Onchan 3, Corinthians 6. Now, if I remember correctly, when I arrived here, at one point, Corinthians were 4-1 up.
Yeah, it was. And what makes it more incredible, we got a match report in as well, is that Onchan lost a player as well. So credit to them for keep going. But the pressure was on them when the player got sent off because, you know, Onchan was struggling a little bit and, you know, Corinthians were scoring goals. And match report, right, both teams started tentatively testing each other. And not until the 20th minute, the deadlock was broken for Corinthians. Sean Doyle to find the goal they were looking for, and it took the wind out of Onchan's sails. Then 2 minutes later, Corinthians doubled their score with a fine goal from young Connor Clark. Then on 25 minutes, Onchan were awarded a penalty. The penalty taker, Andy Asbridge, stepped up, and Matthew Quirk saved it, palmed it away, and Carl Presley, playing against his old club, I'll remember that one, Carl, was there to score from the rebound. And then on 34 minutes, Corinthians were awarded a penalty themselves, and up steps Sean Doyle to calmly place it past Dawson and to get his brace and Corinthians third. But Corinthians weren't satisfied with that and kept pushing for their fourth, and that came on the 41st minute through Dan Simpson to put Corinthians 4-1 up at half time. Corinthians started the second half as they finished the first, but Onchan stood soon started getting back into the game and got their second goal from a double header from Andy Asbridge on the 57th minute. And with both teams pushing for another goal, that came from Connor Clark to also get his brace and Corinthians fifth. Onchan started pushing again, and on the 75th minute, they got their third with a sweet strike from Tom Creer. But on the 78th minutes, Jake Gartland was sin-binned, but said something to Matty Shaw, and therefore he had no choice but to show him a red card because he had two yellows, putting Onchan down to 10 men. And with 12 minutes to go, Corinthians made that extra man count. Frustrated from Onchan until the 87th minute, it was, let me see if we can get that, yep, when Dan Simpson got his brace and Corinthians sixth. They then pushed for the seventh, but to no avail, and the Onchan game finished up Onchan 3, Corinthians 6. And we'll just go over the goal scorers again. Carl Presley got one for Onchan, Andy Asbridge and Tom Creer. Sean Doyle with two, Dan Simpson with two, and Connor Clark also got two goals. So well done to Corinthians in that big game. Onchan 3, Corinthians 6.
A big result here for Union Mills over Laxey, 3-0 winners.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and you know, well done to Union Mills. They really are on a bit of a march at the moment. Shame we haven't got the scorers. If anyone's out there, I've texted Ryan, but nothing's come through. See who scored for Union Mills. But I think Johnny Palmer will be disappointed with the performance there, because I looked at his squad. It's quite strong. Yes, he's tinkering around at the back a little bit because no Tom Smith. You know, they're having to fill those sort of holes in, the voids. But Corinthians 3 points for Union Mills 3 points for them.
And a big, big result this one. This is the game Rob Pritchard went to. Late drama at this one. Douglas High School and Old Boys 1. Braddon pipping it with the last touch of the game, making it 2.
Yeah, huge result, and got a match report by our boss. And half-time score was 1-0 to Braddon. Old Boys scorer in the game was Jacob Stones from the penalty spot, and Liam Long it was, and Mark O'Neill who got the winner for Braddon. But during a very uneventful first half, Braddon managed to break the deadlock 4 minutes before the break, when a Nick Harvey corner from the right was headed in by Liam Long from 6 yards out. Into the second period, Old Boys started to see more of the ball, but found themselves down to 10 men with their 15 minutes to go when Ryan Gartland was sent off for a second bookable offence. Despite the man disadvantage, Old Boys drew level. They've done that before with 8 minutes to go. Substitute Jacob Stones, it was fouled in the Braddon box by Braddon captain Mark O'Neill, with Stones getting up to take the spot kick, converted it into the bottom corner, sending Braddon keeper Alex Haddock the wrong way. But a final twist was to come in the second minute of second half stoppage time. A Braddon free kick on the halfway line was floated into the box with the Old Boys keeper coming out and missing the punch. The ball fell behind him to Ryan Edwards, who unselfishly squared the pass across 6 yard box from to O'Neill and smash it home. That's Mark O'Neill. A big 3 points for Braddon, who move 8 points clear of both Old Boys and the drop zone Foxdale, and we'll come to the league table later on. So congratulations to Braddon and Old Boys. Unfortunate there just to let some points drop.
Peel 2, Foxdale 0.
Yeah, a little bit tighter than I thought this one, because Peel, really pushing top towards the table. But Taylor Andrews, it was, who got one on 35 minutes. Oscar Bignall got one on 88. And after taking the lead, after Ben Sturgeon had teed up Taylor Andrews, Peel found it difficult to break down a resolute Foxdale backline in swirling conditions. It was not until 2 minutes from time when Oscar Bignall was first to react, when Matthew Wood's shot came across the base of the post to make the game safe. So, as you say, really good performance by Foxdale. Doesn't matter though, Peel got the 3 points.
St Mary's 5, Ayr United 1.
Good result this for St Mary's, 2-1 at half time it was. Haven't got Ayr scorers, but for St Mary's, that man again, Mark Wolfenden, he got two of the goals there. Matthew Kent Lloyd playing today, he got one. Jamie Skillen on the score sheet, nice to see him playing for the first team, very skillful player. And Therese Thompson as well, how many goals has he scored? Important goals this season, but St Mary's come away with the 3 points.
And then St John's United against Rushen, that was postponed due to the pitch.
Yep.
So let's have a look at Arden and Drugan Division 2. And an 8-goal thriller here, but honours even. Douglas Royal 4, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4.
Yeah, and I haven't got Douglas Royal scorers, but bizarre this one, if it's correct. It was Douglas Royal who were leading at half time, 3-0. So what a tremendous second half performance by Ramsey Youth Centre. I'm only guessing a little bit here that it might have been wind, because we've seen some big alterations to scores in the second half throughout the games there today. But Leighton Ballard, a couple of goals by him. Well done, Leighton. Will Smith scored one from the penalty spot. And Tony Collett, I think he was sub last week, he played today and he got a goal as well. So good result for Ramsey Youth Centre. And with Castletown dropping points, keeps pressure on the top of the table.
And you don't see this too often in Manx football. Douglas and District 0. Governance Athletic 0.
Exactly, and let me see, I have got a little bit of a report on this one. Well, I've got two, but I won't shame one of them, because it was an honest report, and it was just Douglas and District 0, Governance Athletic 0, and this is from someone high up in one of the clubs, said, worst game ever, and a smiley face. So I don't think it was one to watch for the faint-hearted, but all I've got here is not much to say about the game. Ask Hattie, second point and first clean sheet of the season. Happy with the clean sheet with three of our regular back, four and a few others missing with injury. But two sides at the bottom of the table. Great clubs, Governors and Douglas and District. Douglas and District had probably a tougher time this season, lost a couple of players at the start, but they've hung in there. They always get two teams out, so credit to them. And Governors as well. Both teams, sets of players play with smiles on their faces. And even though when you look at the gap from Governors to the team above them, St George's, of 11 points, it just shows where they are. So, yeah, maybe a fair result for both teams, but not one for the faint-hearted, by the sound of it.
Are we going to blame Hattie for being there for the 0-0 then, probably?
Yeah, we'll blame him.
Should we blame Hattie?
At least we won't have any evidence of goals. Unlucky for Hattie. He's there to catch the action, and he may have caught some good football here and there, but unfortunately for him, no goals.
No goals indeed. St George's 3, Castletown 2. St George's get another win over Castletown.
Absolutely brilliant. And, when you look at Division 2 now, 4 points clear, Colby go, but 2-1 up at half-time, St George's. George Kizik, regular goal scorer for them, he got two of the goals. Chris Bass Jr., if he keeps playing well like that, he might get himself in the Ireland squad. He is the manager, but we'll wait and see. but for Castletown, usual goal scorers, Ross Crawford, Alex Crawley. Another bad day in the office for the town.
Now, Before we talk about this game, which you went to, have you and Rob settled your morale dispute?
No, Rob knows I prompted him. I fancied Moran to do quite well, and so did Rob, to be fair, because they were down on 9 league games. Now they played 10, and today they must look at this game and just say how we didn't maybe get a couple of goals in that first half, because Moran had some chances, and it was brilliant to watch. I think it was Nick Clegg in goal. Huge guy, he's about 6'6", so he's an ideal person, but normally plays centre-back. He pulled off some cracking saves first half and second half, but first half, two or three real point blankers, so well done to him. And at half-time, it was sort of nil-nil, but second half, sort of Colby just got it together and finished off really well. It was well refereed by Callum Raby, by the way, but Jordan Edge it was who got the first one. Harry Horbury stood no chance. To his left-hand side, it was tight and 1-0 down. And then the second one, I think it was Kean Smith, it was the 14, who got that one. Good finish from him. And then Sam Wollan, my old mate, got one as well. So Colby had chuffed a bits with that one. And just shows that Moran have got to do a little bit more work to get it right. But the team's there, no doubt about it, Ben. So I don't think there's no panics for Moran, but today it was Colby's day.
So that was Moran 0, Colby 3. Canada Life combination 1, we had a postponement for Braddon against Douglas High School and Old Boys. Foxdale against Peel was also postponed. And then Ayr United against St Mary's, that was handed as a walkover to St Mary's. I'm guessing is that due to
Ayr couldn't field a team,
Ayr couldn't field a team. So looking at the games that did go ahead, Corinthians 0, Oncom 5.
Yeah, and it was a big shock of this for Corinthians, because when you look at the league tables now, Oncom are on 24 points and Corinthians still top of the table on 32, but the sides below them, Ramsey didn't play, Peel didn't play, Rushen did, so they've gained a little bit. So great performance by Oncom. Haven't got the goal scorers, but Corinthians, I think, lost a player a couple of minutes before half time. So I don't know how the score was at half time, but big disappointment for them, and congratulations to Oncom, 5-0 winners.
Union Mills 2, Laxey 9.
Yeah, bizarre this one as well, because I haven't got any scorers in this. Unfortunately, we can't give them a mention. So if anyone can text us through, please, Union Mills or Laxey's goal scorers. But it was Union Mills 2, Laxey 9.
And then the final fixture in this league was Rushen United 5, St John's United 2.
Yeah, and it was 3-2 at half-time to Rushen, so nice and tight. I haven't got St John's goal scorers, but for Rushen, you could see this, because I think a couple of these players were substitutes last week, so they could play. Joe Kelly was definitely one. He got 2. Joe Reid got 1. And Luke Roberts got a couple of goals as well. So that puts them back in it, I think, Rushen, because now they've played 15 for 29. Then above them is Peel, played 14 for 29. I think they're the team to look out for, because up until today, their last two games, Ben, they'd scored 30 goals in two games, so they're absolutely flying. Ramsey dropped a couple of games of late, but they're still 14 for 31, and now Corinthians have played 15 for 32. They play 24, so it's getting business end of this league, and nice to watch it how it unfolds to the end of the season.
Absolutely. And Arden and Drugan combination 2, we had two games that didn't take place today. They were Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Douglas Royal, and Colby against Douglas Athletic. They were down to referees. I mean, do you want to pass any comments?
Yeah, we can do. Unfortunately, and I apologise on behalf of the Isle of Man FA, that we didn't have enough referees. It's not our fault, because I think there was two games at the start of the week that weren't covered. This time last night, we were 7 without any officials. Yes, we were fortunate enough that a couple of games were postponed, and we lost one due to weather conditions, so it allowed us. But we've got to have a look at this, because it's a continuous problem we're having now with referees, so we need to entice more people in, and I think maybe another shift on what to do with it. But my apologies. It's not nice to lose a game of football because no officials, but if we haven't got them, we can't play the games.
I've just had a text in here. Tony Laxey Combi, we had 5 goals for Big Rob.
Rob McAuliffe, yep.
Aaron V with 2.
Don't know. Venables, it might be, I think. I might be wrong on that one.
Possibly. And then Harry Kenny with 2 as well.
Yep.
And then an Aaron Chadwick diving header own goal.
Great. And thank you for the guy that or whoever's come back there with the score. Really appreciate it, the scorers as well. It's nice to the lads to have a mention because, you know, 9-2, that's pretty handy. And Laxey must be... let's have a look there, Rob. Ben, I should say.
Careful.
Yeah. They've scored an awful lot of goals. I know their difference is only +5, but I'd love to know how many goals they've scored because I can remember 6-5s, 5-4s and stuff like that. So they've scored an awful lot of goals in this combination one.
Absolutely. A game we are looking for a score. I don't know if you've got it yet. Jim's against Moran?
No, that's not. In fact, I think it's just come through now. Let me just check because it was one that we were looking for. Yes, we have. Thank you very much, Colin. Yeah, it was 5-2 to Moran. So it was Jim's 2, Moran 5, but no scorers.
Okay, so that's in Auden and Drogon combination 2. That's Jim's 2, Moran 5. Maloo 9, Michael United 3.
Yeah, got a report on this one as well. So we'll try and get this one up if we can because it's always good to find out how players are getting on. Where are we now? There we go. Right, okay. Combination was Maloo 9, Michael 2. Maloo were able to benefit from first team not having a game, which means that lads could drop into the combination who have not played recently. And this afternoon, Kieran Kreipner scored 2 first half goals and was joined on the score sheet by Sam Clegg with a beautiful diving header from a corner. Michael used the wind well, but we led 3-2 at half time. Michael made it 3-3 straight away in the second half before Joe Lewis scored a header to put us ahead. And from then on, it was one-way traffic as we scored 3 goals in 3 minutes through Mark Hargreaves, Paddy Cooper and Kieran Kreipner again to seal his hat-trick. In the last few minutes, Hargreaves got his second from 40 yards, only before Calum Watterson made it 9-3 in added time. Michael ended the game with 10 men after some poor discipline. A great result and thanks to Michael for switching the game because this was moved due to Maloo's pitch not being available.
Just going back to Laxey's combi, this text who actually sent the scorers in has just come back to say that Laxey combi today started with 8 16/17-year-olds on the pitch.
Yeah, that's, well, Laxey have always had a good youth policy. And, you know, it's keeping the players because when they turn sort of 16, some can leave. And it's good that they've stayed because a lot of time and effort put into coaching these young lads. And it's just nice to put something back into senior football. And I'm sure the way the first team's going at the moment, maybe one or two of those might be filtering into the first team because that's one thing about Johnny Palmer. If they're good enough, he'll put them in. Not bothered about age.
Absolutely. Governors Athletic 3, Douglaston District 1. I think we've just covered that one, haven't we?
No. We've got AD Johnson. He got 2 goals for Governors Athletic. John McMullen got the other one. For Douglas and District, I think we've just had their scorer come through, if I remember. Let me just check on this one for you. There we go. Combination was half nil-nil at half-time. Joel Kenyuk got the goal for D&D. Kenyuk put us 1-0 up. So D&D were 1-0 up with the second of the season. So well done, Joel. And D&D very close to getting something out of it.
And then the final fixture is Castletown 1, St George's 2.
Yeah, well done to St George's combi. Team out today is a really good. 0-0 it was at half-time. Castletown, it was Josh Tyra got the goal on dare for St George's. Tristan Ringham, I won't tell you his age, but he's over 35 anyway. But he got one of them. Andrew Perry got the other one. So good result that for Geordies.
Absolutely. So that concludes everything in the local football. Looking ahead to FC Isle of Man, of course, tonight they are at home to South Liverpool. Team news is in. But before we go to Rob, how do you see this one playing out?
It's hard to say because we haven't seen the team yet because I asked Rob last night, have we had the team yet? And it was a little bit late. So this is interesting, this team, because there's a lot of players missing midweek. And I think Rick Holden has sat back to take on board, you know, what players were available midweek. I thought it was a brilliant result because they were 2-0 down at one stage and, you know, 3-2 at the end, really good. So I know you'll hopefully have Rob live in a couple of minutes, but it's one of those, it's a home game. You always want to win in front of the home crowd. There's changing faces all the time at the moment for Rick with players not being available and bringing others in. And it's just a question of them just picking up the spaces that they're filling and try and do the business for them. But at the moment, it would be nice after three defeats to try and get some points on the board. And I'm sure the boys will be listening to it. And I'm not there tonight, but I'll be listening to the commentary. And let's see if FC Alaman can take the 3 points.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, for now, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
And with the time now at 28 minutes to 6, let's head on down to the bowl and join Rob Pritchard. Rob, a very good evening. Let's just do a good check on you. Have you got all your thermal gear as well as Darren?
I have, yes. I'm certainly well wrapped up here at the bowl, where the wind is swirling around at the moment under the floodlights. Welcome for the first time this evening to the Bowl Stadium in Douglas, ahead of this NWCFL Premier Division matchup between FC Isle of Man and South Liverpool, with kickoff in just under half an hour's time at 6 p.m. Let's bring you team news now. We'll start with FC Isle of Man, who make several changes to the reduced side, as Tony mentioned, that faced West Didsbury and Chorlton in midweek, that 3-2 defeat at Brookburn Road. Dropping out from the midweek contest are Luke Booth and Will DeCandia, who of course was just a one-off inclusion to help boost squad numbers during midweek. Coming in, Dean Pinnington and Sean Kelly, they're back in the squad. They go straight into the starting 11. Harry Best and Carl Watson also rejoin the fold. They will start from the bench. So, FC Isle of Man's starting 11 is as follows. In goal is Adam Killier, and then it's Callum Sherry, Josh Kane, Captain Michael Williams, Alex Maitland, Carl Clark, Steve Whitley, Danny Gerrard, Dean Pinnington, Jake Crook and Sean Kelly. Substitutes for FC Isle of Man are Harry Best, Leo Tregurtha, João Marques, Jamie Cadwallader and Carl Watson. And for the visitors, South Liverpool, they make four changes to the side that were beaten by Winsford United in the fourth round of the FA Vars last weekend. Dropping out this time around are Luke Denton, Alex Griffiths, Sam McNeil and George Clarkson. Coming in this time are Casey Smith, Matthew Sculler and Simon McClay, who'll all be in from the outset. Harvey Billington is also an addition. He will start from the bench. So South Liverpool side is as follows. In goal is Lucas Allen, and then it's Daniel Mayer, Casey Smith, Jack Bentley, Christopher Bramall, Matthew Sculler, Captain Andrew Lloyd, Sam Mullally, George Murray, Neil Weaver and Simon McClay. Substitutes for South Liverpool are Cameron Glennon, Harvey Billington, Adam Howes, Sullivan Barker and Joshua Asifo. The referee this evening is Aaron Connolly, and his assistants are Nathan Cool and Baby Driver Glover. Going into this evening, these two sides have something in common. They're both currently on three-match losing streaks and both, no doubt, hoping to try and amend that, if you like, here at the Bowl this evening. For FC Isle of Man, that narrow defeat in midweek to West Didsbury and Chorlton means that although they currently sit 11 points clear of the drop zone going into this weekend, they're certainly under no illusion that there are plenty of challenges lying ahead for the 16 games they have remaining in the league campaign. Starting tonight against the South Liverpool side, who, as I mentioned, winless in three, defeats in the last three, in fact. However, they did win the reverse fixture between these sides back in October. 3-1 scoreline it was over at Jericho Lane. And FC Isle of Man as well, they'll still be looking to improve their home form. They've still only won two of their home games so far this season. How Rick Holden, who's mentioned it before, he'd like to see an uplift in home form throughout the season, how much he'd like to see 3 points this evening to try and get this FC Isle of Man side back on track, try and lift a little bit of confidence. They are, of course, once again without top scorer Charlie Higgins, who's serving the last of a three-match suspension after picking up a red card against AFC Liverpool before the turn of the year. One to watch out for potentially for South Liverpool is striker Neil Weaver. He was South Liverpool FC's Supporters Player of the Month in December. He's got 17 goals in 33 appearances so far this season, with one of those coming against the Ravens back in the reverse fixture. So two sides looking to get back on the wagon, if you like, tonight. FC Isle of Man versus South Liverpool, kickoff at 6 p.m. Full live match commentary from myself and Darren Timpson from then.
Absolutely, cheers for that one, Rob. Just a quick one before we let you go and get warm. Atmosphere, I mean, we can hear lots of voices in the background there. Good crowd in for this evening's game?
People are filtering in slowly. I think once again the weather's going to be a bit of a factor, because I mean, we are very fortunate where we are in the commentary booth underneath that sheltered section just in front of the FA clubhouse. There are those we do see, you know, rain, wind or shine, that do right across from us, where there is absolutely no cover whatsoever, brave the conditions, and it looks like those on the far side are going to do so as well. There are just a handful there. Looking out, it is dry out there. We're not expecting any rain this evening, but there is that wind that's blowing around the whole stadium. It's certainly meaning that I'm having to make some contingency plans for the notes I've got in front of me to stop them flying away and across over to Union Mills or somewhere like that. But it is a little bit cold, and of course there is also the factor as well, we have a lot of Liverpool fans here on the Isle of Man, and of course Liverpool playing Bournemouth tonight in the 5:30 kickoff. That game has just got underway, so no doubt some split commitments from some. But if, as we always say, if anyone wants to stay tuned in, find out some updates over the 90 minutes, we've got you covered here on Manx Radio AM 1368. Full live match commentary from 6 p.m, Ben.
Absolutely, Rob. Cheers for that. And we'll speak to you at 6 o'clock. Rob Pritchard down at the Bowl ahead of FC Isle of Man's game against South Liverpool.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
And with the time now at 23 minutes to 6 o'clock, we're going to say a very good evening to Dave Christian in the north of the island. Dave, you've made it back from the south, and what a game you went to.
Yeah, Manx Shield is always interesting, just to keep an eye on the emerging talent that are coming through, and it was a pretty good game down there. It was in the end a bit one-sided on the scoreboard, and Hartford Homes Manx Shield, Southern Nomads beat Western Vikings 46-5, but that scoreline doesn't reflect how competitive the game was. The Vikings pack in particular were dominating the set-piece scrummage, and probably didn't do enough with it when they got the ball out, and I think they even turned over a couple of Nomad scrums as well. So fair play to the lads from Vikings. They plugged away all the way, but the Nomads back line and the crisp passing in between them was just too much for them. The win puts Nomads into second place in the Shield, and then the scorers, there were two first half tries from Rob Crane, which formed the backbone of their success. And after Dick Seed and Finn McGregor had added tries and Zach Hand added a conversion, they were 22-0 in front at half time. You got a feeling that Vikings in the second half might have done a bit better. They were playing down the slope, but perhaps into the wind a little bit, which sort of counterproductive, but they did make some ground, but it wasn't to be, because in the second half, George Colster and Ewan Chapman both added tries in the first 5 minutes for Nomads, and really by that stage the game was over. Vikings did pull one back, great running from Ed Knight, and he managed to create space for Clayton Matthews out wide on the right, but there was no comeback, and tries from Sam Kenyuk and the second one from McGregor sealed the points for Nomads, with Zach Hand adding two second half conversions as well. Elsewhere in rugby this afternoon, Douglas had their much vaunted game in hand. If we remember, they were top of the table back at the end of November with a game in hand. That would have put them well clear of the chasing pack. However, they've had a disaster in December, lost 3 out of 4, and have lost again since. And today they were away at Burnage for that game in hand, and they've lost 41-29 over there. It was a mixed outcome for Douglas. They scored 4 tries in that defeat. That gives them a very useful losing bonus point. However, their close rivals in the table, who were in 4th place, I think, now at the start of today, were Vale of Loon. They were playing the league leaders North Ribblesdale. Vale of Loon have picked up the points in that one, and Douglas now dropped to 4th place in the standings. But with leaders North Ribblesdale slipping up and not getting any points afternoon, the top 4 in Regional 2 Northwest have concertinaed a little bit, and North Ribblesdale now head the table with 57 points. Sandbach second with 54, Vale of Loon third with 51, and Douglas in fourth place with 49 points. So it's still all to play for, but Douglas probably a little bit on the back foot now. They go to eighth place Northwich next week. Northwich have won 6 from 15, so the writing is on the wall there for a Douglas win. If they can just get their best players fit and on that plane, we could see them pick up some more points. There was another game today as well, Ben, which wasn't on our card. Unfortunately, I didn't know about it when I wrote the card. And that was in the under-16s Hartford Homes Manx Cup. And that was down there playing on the adjacent pitch at Ballykillia Park this afternoon. And it was Southern Nomads under-16s who beat Vagabonds under-16s 41-31. The star for Nomads, undoubtedly Dara Bailey from the centres. He ran in 4 tries. There were also 2 from Cosmo Kinley and another try from Mustafa Guna. Kinley added 3 conversions in that as well. And I think we've got Ramsey under-16s waiting in the wings. They beat Vagabonds last week in the under-16 Manx Cup, and it's being played on a league basis. So everybody plays each other and that forms a league table, and the top two will play off, I think, for the final. But a bit more of that to come. But this afternoon, Southern Nomads win-win on both pitches down there at Ballykillia Park, which was windy and was cold.
Ben. I can absolutely vouch for that, Dave. I was at Castle Rushen High School and it was blowing a gale, let's put it that way. It was absolutely blowing a gale. Looking ahead to next week, what have we got next week? Who's on Ireland? Who's off Ireland?
We've got Douglas away at Northwich. Ramsey and Vagabonds are both out of action at the moment. The Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire League has split into two mini leagues, and the first round of fixtures is on the 14th of February. In between, there's breathing space for anybody who's still in a cup competition, and many of the English sides are still. Ramsey are still in the Cheshire Bowl, but they're through to the final, and they'll play either either Hoylake or New Brighton. Hoylake and New Brighton have already played, but for reasons as yet unknown, the game has been ordered to be replayed. So we're waiting the outcome of that. But that is Ramsey and Vagabonds both out of commission now till the 14th. They have got postponed matches, which they should be catching up on, but we've had difficulty arranging the travel for them, planes fully booked up, etc., etc. And those games are going to be played off from memory on the 7th of March. Ramsey are away at Oral and Vagabonds will be away at Colne and Nelson. So everybody gets a couple of weeks off. I haven't heard that they're arranging any friendlies, but if we do, we'll obviously have it on Friday Sport Preview next week.
Absolutely. Dave Christian, thank you as always for your updates on the rugby.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
16 minutes to 6, and we're going to conclude this evening with hockey. And of course, it's been week 3 of the men's and ladies action in the leagues this weekend. Let's have a look at the men's Premier League first. And the game we covered today at Castle Rushen High School was between Castletown A and Harlequins A, and that was a 3-1 win to Harlequins A. For Castletown A, it was Andrew Winstanley with the goal for them. And then Harlequin's goal scorers was Oren Blakemore with one and Tom Hurd with two. Happy birthday, Tom. That's a good birthday present, I think. Getting two goals there would have been good if you got your hat-trick, but we won't mention that too much. In the other games, Vikings A took on Backers A, and Backers A came 4-2 winners over Vikings A. Andy Whiting with two, Elliot Reid with one, and Chris Whiting with one. And the two goals for Vikings coming from Archie Cayley and Eddie Cayley. Valkyries A took on Vikings B, and Valkyries A come out 5-0 winners. Ollie Webster with two goals, Oscar Lace with one, Craig Killey with one, and Michael Deal with one, giving the Westerners the victory over Vikings B. Ladies Premier League, though, a huge result for Valkyries A. They have beaten the current holders of the Ladies Premier League, Castletown A, by 2-1. Imogen Cook and Maxine Jones on the score sheet for Valkyries A, with Kira Kelly getting the goal for Castletown A. But the defending champions have been defeated today by potentially one of their title contenders. Elsewhere, Backers A took on Vikings A, and this was a very close affair at the NSC, and it was only Vikings just taking the victory by 1-0, the crucial goal being scored by Chelsea Borden. Castletown B took on Harlequins A, and this was a great result for Harlequins A, who now have that gap over Castletown B at the bottom of the league. Fern Bagazzi on the score sheet for Castletown B. And then Maisie Crellin with one, Rachel Middleton with one, Lara Smith with two, and Sophie Kneifen on her senior debut getting on the score sheet as well. Great effort there from her. Men's Division 1, Castletown B took on Backers B, and it was a 9-0 win for Backers B. Craig Lees with two, Jack Grimbley with two, Sam Robinson with two, Ollie Christian with one, Abs Maddox with one, and Will Wiseman with one on the score sheet, giving Backers B that crucial victory. Elsewhere, Valkyries B took on Harlequins B at QE2, and Valkyries B came out 7-0 winners over Harlequins B. Ali Fipiano, Vaughn Butchler, Ryan Thomas, Russ Miller with two, Liam Harrison and Steve Cottier all on the score sheet for the Westerners in that game. A close affair, though, in Ramsey. 2-1 win for Ramsey A over Valkyries C. Valentino Cosgrave and Charlie Dormer on the score sheet for Ramsey A, with Greg Miller on the score sheet for Valkyries C. Ladies Division 1, Vikings B got the better of Backers C in their game. 4-2 win for Vikings B. Helen Edge with two, Georgie Higgins with one, and Ellie Harris with one for Vikings B, with Julie Manning on the score sheet for Backers C. Valkyries B played Ramsey A in the next game in the Ladies Division 1, and this was a 2-1 win to Valkyries B. Lauren Kenyuk and Lizzie Neal on the score sheet for Valkyries B, with Sophia Cosgrave on the score sheet for Ramsey A. Backers B took on Castletown C in the late pushback at King William's College, and this was a 2-0 win to Backers B. Ros Lynch and Sophie Partington on the score sheet for Backers Ladies B. Men's Division 2, Castletown took on Vikings C in their game, and it was a 1-0 win to Vikings C, a very close game, with Danny Kane the goal scorer for Vikings C. Elsewhere, goals galore at Ramsey Grammar at 3:30. Backers C played Ramsey B. 8-2 winners for Backers C. Carl Benyon with three, Christian Davis with three, and Jas Singh with two, with both goals for Ramsey coming from Dan Cross. Currently in play is Backers Colts against Harlequins C. That's at King William's College. That kicked off at 5:05 at King William's College. And as soon as we get the result for that, we will let you know. And it will be published on Manx Radio Sport following the conclusion of this programme. Ladies Division 2, Castletown D took on Harlequins B. Harlequins B were top of the league at the start of today, and they aren't anymore, because Castletown D got the better of them by 1-0. Anne-Marie Crompton with the goal for Castletown D, giving Castletown that win over the league leaders, who were the league leaders at the start of the day. And that is because Valkyries C have beaten Vikings C by 2-1. Finn Martins and Abby Callow on the score sheet for Valkyries C, and Vikings C goal scorer was Shelby Rooney. Finally, in the mixed under-15s league, we have Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 4, Backers 3, Charlie Dormer with 3, and Charlie Pinks with 1, with Marcus Creer, Izzy Taverner and Zach Moore on the score sheet for Backers. And then finally, the other game in the under-15s league saw Castletown Savers take on Harlequins, and that was a 2-1 win to Harlequins. We don't have the goal scorers, I don't think. No, we don't, for Harlequins. But the Castletown goal scorer was Adam Eales. League action next week takes a break, because next week we are into cup and plate action in the men's and ladies.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
And with the time now at 5:50, we're going to leave you with the headlines. In Canada Life, Men's Premier League wins for Corinthians, Union Mills, Peel, St Mary's and Braddon take late drama over Douglas High School and Old Boys. They win by 2-1. Arden and Drugan Division 2 wins for St George's, Colby a 0-0 draw between Douglas and District and Governors Athletic, and Douglas Royal and Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys couldn't be split, 4-4. Canada Life Combination 1 wins for Onken, Laxey and Russian. And in Arden and Drogon, Combination 2 wins for Maroun, Malou, Governors Athletic and St George's. In Regional 2 Northwest in rugby, Burnage get the better of Douglas by 41 points to 29. And in the Harford Homes Manx Shield, Southern Nomads beat Western Vikings by 46 points to 5. Hockey, Men's Premier League, Backers A get the big one, Harlequins A get one over Castletown A, and Valkyries A get their first win of the season over Vikings B. Ladies Premier League though, drama as the current holders of the Ladies Premier League are beaten by Valkyries A by 2-1. Elsewhere, Vikings A get Backers by 1-0, and Harlequins A get 5 past Castletown, who got 1 past Harlequins. Men's Division 1 wins for Backers A, Valkyries B and Ramsey A. Ladies Division 1 wins for Vikings B, Valkyries B and Backers B. Men's Division 2 wins for Vikings C, Backers C, and of course, currently in play is Backers Colts against Harlequin C. Once we know that result, we will let you know. Ladies Division 2 wins for Castletown D and Valkyries C. And then finally in the mixed under 15s, wins for Ramsey Rogues and Rascals and Harlequins. And that just concludes Classifieds here on Manx Radio AM. Thank you as always for your company. Big thank you as always to Tony Meppham and Dave Christian. They will return next week when Simon Quine will be in the chair for Classifieds and Rob Pritchard will be in the chair for Friday Sport Preview. But we're going to head on down now to the bowl to join Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man against South Liverpool. Can FC Isle of Man get that win tonight? Come on, you Ravens. Thank you as always for your company this evening, but it's time to head on down to the bowl where your commentary team are Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson. Have a great rest of your weekend. Speak to you all again next weekend.